Well, the year is quickly coming to a close. And we may just be a step away from the second coming of Messiah. The Lord Jesus is coming again quickly in the clouds. This is a reality. It's not a fable. These are not cunningly devised fables. But this is a reality. And this society, indeed, our world, is unprepared and unwilling to yield and bow. But there are those who, with meek hearts, will receive Him still, and the dear Christ can enter in. Those who bow the knee. And I appreciated Pastor's urgency on Friday, Christmas morning, and the pleading with us, God's people. And I want to flow on from that somewhat this morning. I want to close with some exhortation, encouragement, rebuke, reproof, comfort, to focus our hearts and minds for the year ahead. I don't want to list New Year's resolutions because, as we all know, they are prone to failure. And Scripture certainly isn't filled with that type of thing. It's not about resolutions for the new year. Because the Word of God is near to us. It's even in our hand, even in our hearts. We don't need a list of New Year's resolutions, but we need to eat and to drink from this, the living Word of God. The Spirit of God has written the Word in our hearts. But we as people are prone to wander. As the hymn writer said, I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. So I need this message this morning as much as anyone here. Because I am prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Take my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. For 2016, we need a renewed vision. That's why we need preaching. That's why we need rebuke, reproof and correction. Exhortation and comfort. This is the pattern of Scripture. And our text today is in Hebrews chapter 12, I beg your pardon. And it follows on from the great honor roll in Hebrews 11. If you take our Bibles, please, if you open back to Hebrews 12. I appreciated Rob reading out for us this morning, the Bible reading. I wanted to particularly focus on the first few verses, though, of Hebrews 12, because there is so much meat in those two verses. You know, the 11th chapter of Hebrews talks about the great honor roll and the men and women of faith who've gone before us. And you know, the great women and men of faith, that honor roll, though it's not written in Hebrews, is still continuing. In a sense, you see the martyrs right through the ages, right up until this past week, where those three believers were shot in Mali at the front of the Christian radio station. So we have this great honor roll. And Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, look at all those who have gone before us, the text is saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We read so far. He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is not a list of New Year's resolutions. This is the Holy Scripture. This is able to penetrate your heart if you this morning are willing to hear. If you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Lay aside every weight is the first exhortation. So as we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses and we have seen those who have been martyred, those who have gone before us, this great honor roll, men and women of faith, the text says, let us firstly lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. Look at 4 points this morning. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside every sin. Run the race and look to Jesus. It's a simple text, but there is so much. Today people are running to and fro in this world. They have been choked by thorns and thistles. They have weights on them. And they're struggling. They're struggling from the effect of sin. They're struggling from the effect of weariness and tiredness. I tell you, if you get alone with God, you'll be refreshed. If you get alone with God in His Word and in His Spirit and you're obedient to Him, you will not be weary. You'll rise up on wings with eagles. You will not be weary. But friends, today, people have been weighed down with so many things. People are searching through all means possible. Friends, there is only one way. Lay aside every weight. Put it aside. There's a great parable that is in Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is the answer. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Friends, better to live in a rented out old shack eating herbs than to be in a palace eating king's food and being empty in your soul, destitute, weighed down and heavy. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Lay aside the weights. Lay aside the worries, the cares, the troubles of this world. Lay them aside. That is the exhortation to us. Do not worry about tomorrow, verse 34. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble or is its own evil. We live in an evil, fallen world. There is going to be evil tomorrow and trouble tomorrow. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. The poor will always be among us. It's guaranteed, even though there is enough wealth in the hands of the wealthy to ensure that there is no poverty. If only we stopped looking for aliens on Mars, we could feed the poverty that is there in the nations. The poor you will always have among you, Jesus said. He knew these things. There is evil tomorrow. There is evil today. Sufficient for the day is its own evil. So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And according to Hebrews 12, lay aside every weight. How can you run when you're weighed down? A simple analogy of the race. Enough for a child to understand that if you were to put a pack of 25 kilos on the back of Usain Bolt, he will not be the world champion. Friends, lay aside the weight. People are running to and fro. Christians are running to and fro. Missing services, missing times with God's people, missing time in prayer. Do you put a cost on your time? What is your hour worth, an hour of your life? Do you know how costly it is? How precious it is? For the Lord Jesus will return at any moment, or we may cease to be on this earth at any moment. People are putting their time, which is the most precious commodity, toward things that do not count in eternity. As the people of God, which should not be one of them. We should not be of those who squander their time, and we're weighed down. We are pulled left and right into the vacuum and form of this world. It's like a whirlpool There's only one remedy to get out of it. Have you ever been in that whirlpool? At the Springwood pools? And we've been there with our children. You put a little child in there and they just go round and round and round very quickly. They can't fight against it. You've got to come out of it. There's a whirlpool. There's a vacuum. The world wants to make you its own. This world has a religion. This society has a religion. It has an ideology. Which side are we on? Are we on the Lord's side? Do not be conformed to this world. You may know that text very well in Romans chapter 12. Also the first two verses. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Friends, let me tell you, if you have a renewed mind, there'll be less weight. When you are in or on the fence, as the world says, if you're on the fence, you will be very uncomfortable. If you have your weight and yet you want God, you have your sin but you want a bit of God, but you love your sin, you're going to be very uncomfortable and you're going to be weighed down. I beseech you therefore, brethren, I plead with you, the text says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Be transformed. Be transformed. This world has its own ideology. This world, people will say they're not religious. They won't come to church because they're not religious. They won't come to Bible study because they're not religious. I tell you they are. People are very religious. They might be religious about sport. They might be religious in their entertainment. It's amazing. I'm amazed by the euphoria in this world. Australian Idol. Pop stars. The new Star Wars movie. It's a religion. It's a euphoria. What you spend your time on. Why you can't go to sleep at night because of excitement. You see, there is a religion, friends. There's an ideology. It's the religion of Vanity Fair. It buys and it sells. It wants, but it's never filled. And it's weighed down. Deep inside, it's weighed down. Friends, it's time to lay aside the weights. Take the backpacks off. Take off the sin. Take off the weight that so easily ensnares you. This world is lustful. It craves. And it's never satisfied. Lay aside the weight. Every trouble. Desire after God, the living God of heaven and earth. Seek after Him. Lay this dead old world aside. Read Spurgeon. It was written last century, a couple of centuries ago. But it's so prevalent today. It's so relative to today. I would encourage everyone to read Spurgeon on the parable of the sower. You'll be so blessed. What is your ideology? What is your religion? What do you believe in? Where is your heart? Lay aside every weight. Number two, lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares. Sin is like a serpent. It's like one of those vines that come up and choke you and hold you back. Sin easily ensnares. It's like a large web spun by a spider. A web that takes time to be freed from. And I want to echo what Pastor shared last week about a renewed vision of the fear of God. If you want to lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares you, you have to have the right vision of the fear of God. We live in the last days. Are you one of those who laugh when Noah's ark is being built? Because Noah's ark is being built today. Do you mock with the mockers? We live in the days of Noah. And we can fast become influenced by these days. But the element of the fear of God preserves from evil. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Let me ask you this morning, do you hate evil? Do you hate pride and arrogance? Do you hate a perverse mouth? Do you hate when arrogance and pride rise up in you? Do you hate it? When you say things amiss, do you hate it? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The Bible says further in Proverbs 16:6, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. If you're in sin and you're loving your sin, you do not know the fear of the Lord yet. You will not be able to lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares if you don't know the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of wisdom. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Job 28. And to depart from evil is understanding. And Paul, he exhorts the New Testament church in 2 Corinthians 7:1, saying, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Friends, we need a new vision of God's holiness. We need a renewed vision of the fear of the Lord, so that we may be able to lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares. Because the serpent is crafty, and he calls good evil and evil good. And this society calls evil good, and it calls good evil. Friends, do not be swept aside. Lay aside the sin. Look to God's word. Ask him to reveal this word to your heart, to illumine it. He will show you what is right. How can you know what is right from wrong if you don't know his word? If you don't hunger and thirst for it, and if you're not filled with his spirit? The word shows us clearly and plainly what is evil. The serpent comes and says, it's not so bad. Isn't it good to look upon? Isn't it good to the taste? No. The end thereof is death. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Lay aside every sin habit. Lay aside the sin habit, because sin, it's like a great weight. Just as trouble and just as worrying and having cares in this life keep you from enjoying the victory, sin will keep you from enjoying the victory. Lay it aside. The Bible says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts thereof. Ephesians 4:22 says, put off concerning your former conduct the old man. Put off, lay aside. It has this idea of laying aside, putting off. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. It's deceitful. If you don't know your Bible, you will think that things that this society thinks are okay, are okay. If you don't know your Bible and you're not walking with God, you'll be swept away. You'll be calling good evil and evil good out of your mouth. You won't know. You won't know. Put off the old man which grows corrupt and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 6:5, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. If you're the Lord's this morning, your old man, your old nature is crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ in me. That the body of sin might be done away with. Done away with. Can you see how these words go together? They flow. Put off. Done away with. Lay aside. These have to be dispelled so that we may be able to do the next thing, which is run. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. Paul wrote, and this is my third point, let us run with endurance. You've laid aside the weight, you've laid aside the sin, and you continue to lay aside the weight. You continue to remind yourself, and you lay aside the sin. As you confess to the Holy God your shortcomings, as the Holy Spirit convicts you, and you confess your sin to the Lord, and you don't do it flippantly, but really. I do not beat the air, Paul wrote, and we need godly discipline to run. I don't go flailing the air. The Christian life is a marathon. Not a 100-meter sprint, perhaps, but it's a marathon. It's a lifelong run. It's a journey. But we have a support crew. We have the support crew, friends. And we have a crew, if you're His, if you're the Lord's, one that guarantees we cannot fail. If you are truly His, that is. If you truly know Him, and He knows you. We have the refreshing water of the Spirit to hydrate us. We have the encouragement, the steadfastness of the Word to sustain us. The power of the Spirit to keep us. We have the encouragement of our mentor, the Lord Jesus, and the countless millions who have gone before us. Friends, we need to run the race as they have run. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Gives the example of the Olympics. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. You know, in the old Olympiad, there was a perishable crown. But we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus. This is how I run, Paul says. Not with uncertainty. He knows the outcome. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul did not take his salvation for granted. And that is a true sign of true salvation. That you don't take it for granted. That it's taken very seriously. It's not just a profession of the mouth and no fruit to follow through. If you're truly His, if you're truly saved, there will be a change. There will be a new man. There will be a spirit which gets you on the right path. And you know you're His because when you sin, He rebukes and chastises. He gets you on the right track. The power of the Spirit to keep us. Paul did not run with uncertainty. Praise God. His master had already showed him the pattern which to follow. Yet he said, to run, I must bring my body into line. I must bring my body into line. Someone training for a marathon will not have a massive Christmas meal before they run. They will bring their body into subjection so that they're able to run, be temperate in all things. We cannot feed on this world's excesses. We cannot be conformed to this world and expect to run that race with endurance. We cannot. We cannot be doing well in a race if we are carnally minded, because that brings death and a snare. We have to lay aside. We have to put off. Lay aside every sin. Lay aside every weight so that you may run the race. Philippians 3 verse 13 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Praise God that we can put behind us those things that we are grieved in our heart that we did at one point in time. I look back at my life, particularly between when I was 15 and 20 years old, and I have so many regrets. And when I think of them and they are brought up, I know they're covered by the blood, but I'm still crushed by them. How could I do that? How could I hurt that person? Can I still find some of the people I've hurt and go and apologize to them? It's a real battle. I know that Christ has cleansed me. I know that I'm free. Friends, don't do things that you will regret later. Don't do things you will regret. There is a consequence to sin. There is a consequence to sin. I press toward the goal. I now press. I do forget those things which are behind. I move on and I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Brethren, run the race. Lay aside the weight. Lay aside the sin. And run the race with endurance. Running the race means having time with God. Not being tossed to and fro by this world, but as being in touch with the living God. Walking with Him. Not neglecting to assemble with God's people. Not neglecting prayer and reading. Both alone and with others. Not neglecting family devotions. Not neglecting opportunity to give generously to God's work in finances. Not neglecting to witness to people. Not neglecting running with temperance, with patience, with endurance, the race that is set before us. Fighting the good fight. For I am already poured out as a drink offering, Paul wrote to Timothy, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew he was going. Do we know that we're going? Do we know that the time of our departure is closer than the day we first believed? It's nearer. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to those who have loved His appearing. I love that verse. Have you loved His appearing? Do you love His appearing? When He comes as a good shepherd to bind up your wounds? When He comes with the rod and the staff to first rebuke you and then to comfort you? Do you feel loved when He chastises you? As Rob read out before. Can you see the marks of Christ on your life, on your body? That you are His and He is yours. Do you love His appearing? Will you love His appearing when He comes again in the clouds, in power and in glory? The day where He will be mocked no more. For He comes as a conquering king, as the Lion of Judah. Laying aside, running the race, those aspects we have covered to this point are not possible through mere human effort. They are not possible. These are all undergirded by the everlasting arm. It's not possible for me to lay aside my cares and troubles, humanly speaking. It's just a 7-step self-improvement program, and they'll come back. I can pacify them with drugs, pharmaceutical drugs, that is, over-the-counter stuff, depression pills. It's not going to take away the weight. It's not going to take away the pain. It's not going to hide over my sin. It's not possible for me to lay aside these things, troubles and sin, humanly speaking. It's just a suppression. They will come back in some way, shape or form or another. But praise God, through Him all things are possible. And when God gives the word, He gives the power to do it. He gives the power to lay aside. He gives the power to run. But friends, part of endurance training is the testing. You will be tested. I will be tested. There will be times in the Lord's training ground, in His school of pain, where there's seasons of difficulties. We don't look forward to these. No human can. No human does. But we're not fearful of them either. For these are heaven sent for our benefit, that we may run and not look back. So friends, if we have laid by the power of God aside every weight and sin, if by God's Spirit we're running, we must be looking. We fix our eyes upon Jesus, and this is the last point. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. We don't run aimlessly. We're looking. We have a fixed goal. Paul says, I am fixed on my goal. I know this is a short life. I know this body of flesh will fail, will turn to dust. But I'm looking, my eyes are fixed on a heavenly prize. I'm running and I'm not looking back. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. You have need of endurance, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Friends, do you believe that? Friend, do you believe that this morning? For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come. He will not tarry. He will not tarry. We need to look to our God, our Lord Jesus. The Bible says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega. That is, he is the beginning and the end. Through Jesus. Through Jesus all things were made. All things were made. And there is nothing made. That wasn't made by him. He is the author. He is the great Alpha and the great Omega. He says in Revelations 22 verse 12, behold, I am coming quickly and my reward is with me. I am coming quickly to give everyone to, according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In Revelations 21 and verse 5, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Friends, who is seated at the right hand of God? Our Lord Jesus. He has power. It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Friends, some of you this morning are thirsting. And some have been filled already by false water, by false hope, by counterfeit. Lay aside. Lay it aside. Trust in Jesus for the salvation of your soul. If you are not His this morning, trust Him. Thirst, for He will give the fountain of water of life freely to you who thirst. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be His God, and He shall be my Son. Brothers and sisters, friend, Jesus is waiting for the Father's instruction, and then he will come to earth again in power as a conquering king. He is coming again. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. That's a word for a believer. A word of encouragement. When you see these things begin to happen, the end times, look and lift up your heads. Look up. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. No man knows the hour, but only the Father. And friends, heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will by no means pass away. But of that day, according to Matthew 24, of that day and hour no one knows. No one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Don't be left behind. Jesus is coming again quickly. His reward is with him. As we look to him, the idea of looking is a watchful looking. Watch therefore, Matthew 24 verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares you. Run with patience the race that is set before you with endurance. And look unto Jesus, not aimlessly, but truly and really. Watch therefore. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. The idea of watchfulness has the idea of being prepared, of readiness, of cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Watch therefore and pray, Jesus said to his disciples. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, lest you be beguiled by the deceiver. Watch therefore, watch. There's three simple words really that come out of this whole text. Lay aside, run, and look up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for your mercy that you stooped down and saved a wretch like me. That you loved me even when I hated you. That you loved me even when I loved my sin. That you set your love upon me and have called me beloved. Lord, you're reaching out to each man and woman, young person, child here today. You're calling us all to lay aside, to run, to look up. Lord, I pray we would take this message to heart, that we would take this word to heart. I thank you, Lord, that these are the words of life. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that they cannot change. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord, for that. That heaven and earth might pass away and will, but these words cannot. The word of life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.